Hello, this is Hannah Connor with the News Gazette dated March 7th, 2025. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Pritzker Touts Proposed Ban on Cell Phones in Classrooms, by Jana Orserman. Champagne. Mark Sikora, a social studies teacher at Centennial High School, has been working at his alma mater for just under 30 years. For those of us that have been in this business long enough, and if you have teens, you know that these years are very much full of anxiety, as it is, he said. The fact that students are walking around with devices that can extend the spread of bullying doesn't help, Sikora added. The Centennial teacher was among those who spoke during a press conference Thursday as Governor J.B. Pritzker visited to discuss his proposal for a statewide cell phone ban in schools. During his address to students and staff, the governor commended Unit 4 for helping lead the charge in this work through its own policy limiting cell phone use. It's imperative that our state set our young people up to achieve full potential, not just by investing in them, but by fostering a healthy and productive classroom environment, Pritzker said. In conversation with educators from around the state, there's one thing most commonly cited as an impediment to classroom learning: cell phones. The governor's proposal would require every public school district in the state to adopt a wireless communication device policy, limiting the use of devices during classroom instruction. However, he noted, there should be certain exceptions to the ban, including emergencies, situations where a teacher gives permission in the interest of education to give support for English learner students, and if the phone is necessitated by an individualized education plan, 504 plan, or a physician's order. Multiple bills have been introduced in the General Assembly that would limit cell phone use in schools. Senate Bill 2427 mirrors Pritzker's proposal and would require boards of education to adopt their policies on or before the 2026-27 school year. Both Pritzker and the bill's sponsors call for these policies to include guidance for secure and accessible storage of devices during class time. Additionally, districts would not be able to enforce their policies through fees, fines, or the deployment of a school resource or law enforcement officer. Boards would be required to evaluate the effectiveness of their device policies every 3 years. Pritzker emphasized that his proposal would allow local school districts to draft specific policies on phone use that meet their needs, provided the policies meet the minimum standards set by the state. I love that it does leave room for local control, said Unit 4 Board President Gianna Baker. As a local school board, that's something that we like to see, because of each of our environments and our contexts are different. At the local level, she said that Unit 4 has seen a decrease in the number of students referred to the office for having their phones out at inappropriate times, since adopting a new policy on devices. We've had our policy for a bit, Baker added. It was just that we needed to enforce it. The current policy, which was introduced at the start of the school year, is as follows. Elementary. Electronic devices can be brought to school, but must be turned off and stay in the student's backpack for the entire day. This includes during recess, lunch, and field trips, unless permission is granted by a teacher or administrator. Middle and high school. Devices can be out at lunchtime, but must be put away during class, unless the teacher allows students to use them during appropriate independent work time. They must also be turned off or silenced. High school students can use their devices during passing periods. Teachers and families reported in a recent survey that the policy has had a positive impact, said Superintendent Sheila Boozer. Students have been cooperative in following the guidelines, though it's certainly been an adjustment for all of them, she said. We believe this approach will help Unit 4 students enhance their concentration, reduce anxiety, and ultimately improve their overall school experience. Student engagement definitely increases when they're not being pulled into the cyberspace that their phone has provided for them, Sikora said, adding that the use of cell phones also exacerbates the spread of information among students. As for Urbana, district spokeswoman Catherine Tellez said that cell phone policies are as follows. Elementary students are generally discouraged from bringing phones to school. If a student does bring a phone, the device should remain off and put away or out of sight. Urbana Middle School has piloted a phone-free space in 2024-25. Each student places their phone in a Yonder pouch upon arrival at school, and they are not allowed to use their devices until their pouches are opened at the end of the day. At the high school level, cell phone use privileges are set by teachers and may vary across classrooms. Each instructor must share their policy with students and parents during the first week of school. Phones and music devices can be used during lunch and passing periods, provided they do not create a threat to safety or disruption to the learning environment. I like the idea of the governor's proposal, having students be more engaged in class, said Josie Elliott, a junior at Centennial. But I feel like, with the policy we have now, students are able to find a way to work around it, so they'll probably find a way to work around this. Still, she added, it's good that people are taking steps to address this issue. I like the idea of giving the school districts and counties more area to move, said junior Charlie Downs. So I think it could work, especially if they talk with students and educators and try to find ways that would incentivize kids to not be on their phones. In addition to outlining the proposed ban, Pritzker also spoke briefly on reports that President Donald Trump may be planning to dismantle the U.S. Department of Education. He said that, whatever happens, Illinois will remain committed to the cause of education. Whatever buzzwords or jargon they're using to describe it will not change the simple fact. They are making deep and harsh cuts to public education that will have an immediate impact on students here in Illinois and across the nation, Pritzker said. Education Secretary Linda McMahon has said that a total shuttering of the department will require action from Congress. Following her confirmation Monday, she shared a memo on what she called the department's final mission. My vision is aligned with the president's, to send education back to the states and empower all parents to choose an excellent education for their children, she said. The next article is titled Lincoln's Challenge Academy, Ex-Sergeant Charged in Alleged Attack on Cadets, Thomasboro Man Requesting Jury Trial, by Dave Hinton. Rantoul. A sergeant at Lincoln's Challenge Academy is scheduled to be back in court later this month on charges of aggravated battery involving strangulation and battery, after he allegedly attacked two cadets in January. Connor D. Riesk, 22, of Thomasboro, who has been fired from his position at the academy, has pleaded not guilty and requested a jury trial. His next court date is scheduled for March 26th. According to a Rantoul police report, officers were called to the academy on January 9th, where two cadets told them that Riesk had punched them in the face and chest and choked them. The incident reportedly happened after Riesk had warned cadets they needed to quiet down or he would take action. They said he later returned to the room with fellow sergeants, who had their backs to the door while the lights were off. One cadet said he thought Riesk was just messing around, at which point Riesk tackled him, punched him several times in the chest, and then began choking him. When the cadet said he couldn't breathe, Riesk allegedly said, "That's the point." The other cadet said Riesk punched him repeatedly as well while he lay on top of a bunk bed and choked him for at least 10 seconds. Another sergeant said cadets in that room had been repeatedly told to be quiet. Police said Riesk came into the room while two sergeants stood by the door, but they said they couldn't see what was happening because the lights were out. Both sergeants said they thought Riesk was going to have the cadets do physical training as punishment, as is often the case, to get them to quiet down. They said they heard banging, and when one sergeant turned on the lights, he saw Riesk on top of one cadet, and another cadet was crying. Rantoul police, assisted by Champaign County Sheriff's deputies, arrested Riesk at his home. Riesk said he had been upset because one of his coworkers had been struck by a cadet. He said he had no intention of hurting anyone, but lost his temper. He told police he struck the cadets only a few times and never intentionally tried to choke either of them. He said the other sergeants had no prior knowledge of what he was planning to do. Lincoln's Challenge Academy. Four cadets who allegedly stole vehicle arrested in New Mexico, by Dave Hinton. Rantoul. Four Lincoln's Challenge Academy cadets are facing charges in the theft of a vehicle in Rantoul after being arrested more than 1,200 miles away. Police Chief Tony Brown said Albuquerque, New Mexico police arrested the youths on charges of receiving or transferring stolen vehicles or motor vehicles, conspiracy to commit third or fourth degree felony, and larceny theft of a firearm worth less than $2,500. On February 16th, staff members from the academy reported that four cadets had run from the building. Brown said they allegedly stole a vehicle from Meadows Court in Rantoul that also had a gun in it. Police identified the cadets as a 16-year-old male from Kanaki, a 17-year-old male from Riverside, a 16-year-old male from Earlville, and a 15-year-old male from Jacksonville. All four were located and taken into custody on February 17th in Albuquerque. Lieutenant Colonel Brad Layton, a spokesperson for the Illinois National Guard, which operates the academy, said all four cadets were expelled. "It's contrary to our conditions to have anybody charged with a felony," enrolled, Layton said. "I don't think that the actions of a few individuals should reflect on the rest of the cadets, who are obviously there for a reason," he said, adding those enrolled are trying to get a fresh start and remain committed to the program, learning life skills and investing in their future. Capital News, Illinois. Hundreds rally in Springfield to oppose homeschool bill. By Beth Hunsdorfer and Molly Parker. Springfield. Hundreds rallied Thursday at the state capitol to voice their opposition to a bill that would require oversight of families who homeschool their children, a response to concerns that the state offers no restrictions on homeschooling families. The bill would require families to notify their local school districts if they decide to homeschool their children. Parents could also be required to provide authorities with teaching materials and completed work to document instruction is taking place if there is a concern that homeschooled children are not receiving an education. Homeschoolers have thwarted previous legislative attempts to regulate them, using grassroots events such as the annual Illinois Christian Home Education Cherry Pie Day. This year, in addition to delivering cherry pies to legislators' offices, homeschool proponents voiced their opposition to the bill, rallying on the Capitol lawn. Tia Narija of Chicago attended the rally to oppose the bill. She's homeschooling her children instead of sending them to Chicago public schools. "I'm from the city. We're inner city. We're right in the middle of like some crazy neighborhoods in Chicago," Narija said. "It's hard enough to raise your family in a big city, but as homeschoolers, there's a community. We have support because my children are still really young. I hope to keep that community strong, to be able to raise them with like-minded people. So I hope this bill doesn't get passed." The bill would not prevent homeschooling. One of its sponsors, State Representative Tara Costa Howard, Democrat from Glen Ellyn, said it would extend minimal requirements to ensure children are educated and safe. Parents would only be compelled to show evidence of schooling if educational authorities received concerns of truancy. Several Republicans in the Illinois House, however, said it would put unnecessary and burdensome restrictions on homeschooling families. "Illinois has plenty of challenges. We all know that. It's not a secret," said State Representative Travis Weaver, Republican from Edwards. "But homeschooling is, frankly, not one of those challenges. It's not a problem, it's a solution. It's an answer to so many public school challenges that Illinois families face. Overregulating homeschool families is bad, but the future of this bill is even worse, because the more we overregulate homeschooling, the more homeschooling will slip and look more and more like our struggling public schools. Currently, homeschool parents are not required to register with their local school district or any state agency. They are not required to use any prescribed curriculum, tests for progress and proficiency, or track attendance. They need not have a high school diploma to instruct their kids at home. Illinois rules for homeschoolers are among the least restrictive in the nation, according to the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. In a news investigation last year, Capital News Illinois and ProPublica found that parents can claim homeschooling to avoid consequences for truancy. Truancy officers told reporters the lack of regulation made it more difficult to get truant kids back into school and to hold parents accountable. While the number of homeschooled children is growing, determining the true number is difficult, as registration is not required. The bill would also require data collection from each regional office of education across Illinois on the number, grade, and age of homeschooled children in their regions. Our communities. Forced to make adjustments. Struggle to fill top position, NET's reorganization of engineering division. By Jennifer Bailey. Danville. The city of Danville has reorganized its engineering division after having difficulty hiring a new city engineer. The city council this week approved the reorganization, which includes changing Public Works Director Dave Ruse's title to Director of Public Works and Engineering, and increasing his salary to $150,000 a year, and naming Assistant City Engineer Eric Childers as Acting Engineer. The biggest thing is we have been without a city engineer for nearly 1 year, Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said. Former city engineer Sam Cole stepped down from his position in May. Williams said the city worked with a headhunter and still was not able to find someone to fill the role. In talking with other cities, they're having similar difficulties and doing a little bit of reorganization, Williams said. In addition, Childers recently indicated to city officials that he planned to retire within a year. Williams said that forced the city to look at what to do next and whether it could move forward without a city engineer, especially with so many continuing infrastructure and road projects. We can't stop, Williams said about the projects. The reorganization also involves dividing up duties with Rue, handling more of the financial side of the job, Williams said, including providing budget management for projects and overseeing capital improvement planning for streets and sewers. One of the city's current engineers, Justin Houston, who is licensed to stamp and sign off on engineering plans, will be trained as deputy city engineer, the mayor said. Other responsibilities will be given to community development administrator Logan Kronk, engineering techs, and others, Williams said. The city plans to hire another engineer as soon as it can, he added. The engineering division currently has 3 engineers, and its budget can support a 4th. We have a year to get everybody in their new roles, Williams said. He said the reorganization and elimination of the city engineer position saves the city more than $100,000, even including the salary increases. Salaries were adjusted accordingly, Williams said. It was able to get the budget neutral. The council also approved adjustments to salary charts for city jobs that included increases based on longevity, with ranges of 5 to 9 years, 10 to 14 years, 15 to 19 years, and 20 plus years. Williams said a past wage study that the city commissioned to bring salaries to proper ranges didn't address this variable, resulting in some new hires getting higher salaries than those who had been with the city a long time. I didn't think that was fair, and the council didn't think that was fair, he said. For example, he said factoring in Police Chief Chris Yates' longevity increased his salary from $144,364 to $162,913. Williams said after the firing of Human Relations Administrator Sarah Finch last month, the city is updating descriptions for that position and will soon make it available for applications. Our communities. Illinois Flag Commission. Long may it wave. Existing state flag prevails in public contest. Champagne firm's design places second. By Jana Wersema. Springfield. A public survey on whether to keep the current state flag or adopt a different design shows that many respondents are in favor of the status quo. State officials announced Thursday morning that the current flag won the redesign contest with 165,602 votes, or 43%, more than any other design. However, Champaign-based Clannon Creative is proud of its design's second-place finish with nearly 33,000 votes and noted that collectively, nearly 57% of the vote was cast in favor of change. The overwhelming percentage of voters choosing new designs is a powerful message, said Clannon Creative owner and director Scott Clannon. While the current flag remains loved by many, the numbers speak for themselves. More than half of the electorate is ready for a renewed symbol that honors our heritage while embracing a modern vision for Illinois. Illinois Secretary of State Alexei Giannoulias' office has pronounced the current flag the decisive winner of the contest that also featured 10 finalist designs, the 1918 Centennial Flag and the 1968 Sesquicentennial Flag. Some may call it an SOB, a seal on a bedsheet. And the vexillological community may hate it, but people overwhelmingly prefer our current state flag, Giannoulias said. Thank you to everyone who made their voice heard on the future of this important symbol of state pride. Over 385,000 votes were cast during a 5-week period, with members of the public allowed to vote once every 24 hours. Now that the contest is closed, the Illinois Flag Commission has been tasked with presenting a report on its findings and recommendations to the General Assembly by April 1st, who will in turn vote on what course of action to take. A full breakdown of the contest results is available at ilsos.gov/news. The next article is titled Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation, Check 'em Out, 63 projects picked for funding. Fall brought grant funding for 132 teacher projects, totaling more than $83,000. Now, for the first time, the CU Schools Foundation has added a second springtime cycle of grants, with 70 educators in Champaign's Unit 4 and Urbana's District 116 divvying up $26,236 for 63 worthy causes. Here's a look. Competitive grants. Awards ranging between $500 and $1,000. Animal exploration for multilingual students. Hillary Allen, Urbana High. Students will visit Miller Park Zoo as part of the animal life cycles they are studying. History and literacy brought to life. Ellen Archer Puffer, Leal Elementary. Supplemental resources such as costumes, Scholastic News, and Brain Pop Jr. will be added for learning about ancient civilizations, the War of 1812, and colonial America. So much fabric, so much fun. Tiara Baker, Franklin STEAM Academy. Students will learn how to sew, crochet, and punch needle, working with yarn to crochet and punch needle projects. Coding for students. Jennifer Bates Covey, Carrie Busey Elementary. Students will learn all about robots and how to use block coding to program characters on the computer. Swag celebration, attendance matters. Candace Cobb, Urbana Middle School. Students who have shown improvement in their attendance over 3 months will be recognized at a celebration. Cultural expression through student-created equipment used in sport and physical activity. Clayton Donahue, Garden Hills Academy. Students will create and personalize their own sports equipment that will be used in a striking and volleying unit. Start with sounds. Heidi Hackett, Urbana Early Childhood. On the way, a Spell Links sound spelling chart, which comes with visuals that focus on 40 phonemes or sounds based on the science of reading research. Sensory and social stations. Lakeisha Hall, King Elementary. Fidget toys and calming resources will be purchased for students to manage sensory overload, improve focus, and regulate emotions. Support for visual arts. Whitney Huber, International Prep Academy. The grant will fund wooden 3D cubes, cylinders, cones, and spheres, plus materials for making sketchbooks for the drawing program. Piano curriculum equipment, Elizabeth Kim, Garden Hills. Elementary students will be introduced to a piano fundamentals with practical keyboard skills through new technology. Snakes in the Library, Karen Klebb, Centennial High. Students and faculty will have the opportunity to meet and interact with live snakes over the course of several visits. Opportunity for Knowledge, Caitlin Lutt, Carrie Busey. A variety of books will be ordered on topics students are learning about in third grade: Vikings, space, animals, and more. Creating My Story, HBCU. Danielle Mallett, Stratton Academy. The grant will support a class project for Black History Month that highlights 10 historically Black colleges and universities. Standing Desk, Jennifer Moline, Franklin. Students experiencing difficulty in sitting at a traditional desk will have the ability to choose to stand at a standing desk instead. Snack Cart for Functional Life Skills Students, Mary Nevada, Edison Middle School. Students with intellectual and/or developmental disabilities will take turns running the new cart while at the same time practicing academic, speaking, kinesthetic, emotional, and social skills. Baby Chicks for Pre-K, Londa Neely, Urbana Early Childhood. Materials for chicken hatching will be purchased for a project that was previously done for a small group, but will now include every student in the school. Supporting Diverse Students in a Sensory-Friendly Area, Melissa Rivera Diaz, Thomas Elementary. Wobble stools will be ordered to assist kids in improving fine motor skills and supporting increased alertness for wiggly bodies. Waiting Room Wonderland, Carla Schroeder, Champaign Early Childhood. The plan, to create an enriching environment for children and their families to use while they go through the screening process. Retro Gaming Virtual Reality Club, Mike Slagor, Central High. The grant will go toward a virtual reality headset and software for a new student club. Kindergarten, Planting the Seeds of Our Future Generation, Christina Sloan, Thomas Paine Elementary. Supplies will be purchased for students to have the hands-on experience of planting and growing seeds into plants. Visual Arts, Printing Student Access, Enrica Stulpinate Molidondo and Shane Rodham's Central. On the way, a color printer with the capacity to produce high-quality printed representations of student artwork across multiple art disciplines. Project Classroom, Design and Dash, Jordan Smith, Urbana High. Funding will go toward a course that uses Tinkercad and Home by Me to design a classroom that students would enjoy learning in and practice project management, interior design using technology, budget management, and collaboration. We will take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for March 7th, 2025. Please stay tuned.